pain. The doctor can't do it. The lawyer wants his pain, but the blood is the power. Oh yeah, that's why we pray. No matter what the problem is, you know that God is loving when it's time to put in trust.
I trust his blood.
For tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
In my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the first Lord's Supper experience today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. You'll turn them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this opportunity to hear you speak to our hearts. Minister this word to us, give us understanding and illumination. Reveal the principles that we might practice them for profit and give you the praise. We thank you, Lord God, that you know what we need. You know where we are. And as you speak to our hearts today, let us be receptive to what you have to say. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Rita.
Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Amen. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. When I was just a little boy and they were having communion, at that time they brought the tables out for communion Sunday. And on the front of the communion table were these words, this do in remembrance of me. That is a powerful saying the Lord Jesus Christ made clear in the Gospels. This do in remembrance of me. And yet so many people don't understand what this do means. We have misused and misunderstood the practice of the Lord's Supper and all of the powerful implications intended in this Lord's Supper, and yet we treat it as if it is just a ceremonial undertaking rather than understanding the deep spiritual reality of what this table represents. the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. If the Lord said that it's important enough for you to do it and remember me, then it makes sense we ought to really know what he's talking about. Now listen to this, because I want you to understand. Paul receives a revelation in verse 23. And this revelation is about the principles, the procedures, and the practices of the Lord's Supper. This profound revelation that Paul was given gave him the opportunity to if you will, institute these words again, this do in remembrance of me, and so that the believers can understand the power that's in these words and in this practice. Believers many times have lost the fervency. They've lost the strength. They've lost the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And so sometimes they even elect not to even take it, especially if they have missed the mark and have fallen short, or they've done something wrong coming up to communion or that night before and don't feel worthy of the communion table. That all the more so means they don't really understand what the table is all about. Because you're not taking communion, which means to commune with God or the Lord, if you think you're communing with him because you got it all together. You're communing with him because he paid a price you could not pay for yourself. He did for you what you could not do for yourself, and he made it possible for you to sup with him because he paid it all. But without that knowledge, many folk miss it. And so communion just becomes communion, another service, another ritual, but not the reality that the Lord Jesus intended. There are so many principles in this word, so many procedures and so many practices that Paul is revealing in this word. But time certainly does not allow me to even mention all of the things that he's dealing with. So my task this morning is to give you 3 points that you should each and every time when you take communion remember. 3 things that you ought to never forget. There are so many other things you can learn, and that these verses hold as a secret that God reveals to those who are close to him and who desire to know him in a more intimate way, and he reveals it as you come closer to him. But there are 3 things every believer, no matter who you are, how long you've been with him, you ought to know every time you take communion. And first of all, look at what it says. Rita, I want you to read again verse 26, and we'll begin here.
Verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
All right. Now listen to this. He says, for as often, whenever that is, if it's once a year, if it's once a month, if it's once a week, if it's once a day, that you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. First thing I want you to know about when you take communion, you ought to look back to Calvary.
That's right.
It's 3 views you're looking at. The first look is a look back to Calvary. Somebody say, look back to Calvary. You see, none of this would make sense if you did not look back to Calvary. It is where the finished works of Christ made it possible for you to be in right relationship with God. It is where his body was given and his blood was given so that you might be purchased and redeemed back to God. You ought to look every time you take of this table, eat this bread, and drink of this cup, you ought to remember Calvary. The price that Jesus paid was so awesome, you should never put the bread in your mouth and drink the cup and not think about Christ. After all, what he did for you in a million years, you couldn't do for yourself. And when you begin to understand the depth and profundity of every payment of penalty he made for your life, you should never forget to look back and say thank you. So when we as believers begin to understand that Jesus says, "This do in remembrance of me," never eat the bread, drink the wine without thinking about Jesus. Somebody used to say, "When I think about Jesus and all he's," yeah, can I get a witness in the house? "Done for me." It's personal. It's individual. It's me talking about my thanksgiving to the one who saved my soul. So the first view I have of this issue called Calvary is remembering what Jesus went through for me. I'll never take communion and be the same when I think of Calvary. And every now and then when I think I've got to a point or reached a place in my life where I'm all of that, I've got to remember the reason I'm any of that is because of Calvary. Anytime I start getting puffed up, getting caught up, getting prideful, thinking I'm holier than thou, thinking I'm righteous, forgetting what he's done, where he's brought me from, forgetting about what he's forgiven me of, forgetting about what he took away from me, what he nailed to the cross, forgetting about the penalties that he's paid for my life, I'm reminded afresh every time I think about Calvary. And when I begin to judge other folk and talk about what they do and what they don't do, and then when I think about Calvary, I'm reminded of everything I've done. Jesus paid for me. All to him I owe. So when you take communion, first thing is you ought to look back to Calvary. But then there is another word here in verse 28 that tells me I ought to look within. Rita, read verse 28.
Verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup."
Now, let me say this to you. The second view is important for many reasons. Because when I get through looking back to Calvary, and then I look within, I must be able to see afresh the cleansing that's still going on. 1 John says that if I say I have no sin, somebody lying. So ain't no sense in me acting all holy just because it's Sunday. And I forget that I have slipped. I have messed up. I have done something that displeased him, that there's still some cracks, corners, and crevices that he's still cleaning out
on the inside. I need not forget I said some stuff. Help me somebody. That still needs to be forgiven of. I've done some things that the Lord wasn't pleased with. I've got to remember that he's still working on me. The old folk used to say, search me, Lord. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. But I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't sing that song. Because ain't no sense in me telling them, if you find. I know I'm the only one in here going to tell the truth this morning. But when you find that shouldn't be, because if it's not in my hands, it's in my heart. If it's not in my heart, it's in my head. If it's not in my head, it's in my mouth. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for helping me realize you aren't through with me. So I have to look within. Let a man examine himself. This is an important look, because what the Lord wants me to do is admit I'm still not perfect yet. It's so that I can express and expose the sin that does so easily beset me. It's so that I can expose the enemy without extending the sin. You see, if you don't expose the enemy, then the sin continues. And a whole lot of us have a sin that's playing the extended version. You catch that on your way home. See, the one reason why you don't want to acknowledge you got a sin is because if you acknowledge you have a sin, then that means you're going to have to confess your sin. And if you confess your sin, it means to repent. It means to turn away. It means to change your mind. And the reason you don't want to do that is because you ain't through with the sin. Y'all ain't got to say amen this morning. I know I'm right about it. See, but when you're through with something, you don't mind saying, I did this, or I did that, or I was this, or I was that. It's only when you're not through with it that you keep it under wraps, because you never know when you might need to unwrap it again. David called it his secret sin. And my brothers and my sister, listen, if you want to get rid of your sin, you start acknowledging you got a problem. Because you can't fix your problem if you act like you ain't got no problem. One of the first things they teach you in any class that's dealing with eradicating the problem is acknowledging that you've got a problem. People tell you, I drank for the fun of it, I ain't hooked. Then give it up. I just drank sociably. And ain't nobody but them. You hooked. When you gotta have a little drink to pick you up. A little drink to make you go, put you down, to rest you, to ease your mind, to calm you down. You hooked. If you had to have one full supper, one doing something, then a nightcap. You hooked. If you got to put a little bit in your coffee and your orange juice. Come on, help me somebody. If you go through the whole day and the Bible said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. But you're not glad till you get off work and stop by the bar that's called happy hour. You're hooked. I could go on with other examples of other things, but the whole point is, if you don't acknowledge you've got a problem, it keeps growing and growing until it consumes you. And so you've got to look within. And then my last point, and I'm closing. Let's go back to verse 26 and read it one more time, because there is a third look. Not only do you look back to Calvary, and not only do you look within for your cleansing, but you must look forward for his coming. Rita, read verse 26 again.
Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
The last few words, you do show for the Lord's death till he come. You are not only looking back to thank him for what he's done, and you look within him for the fact that what he did back there is still working on you right now. But then you look forward to his coming back, his return back. He has said, occupy till I come. And so you never forget, when you take this bread and drink this wine, that Jesus is coming back. And see, if you can take communion and you never look forward to his coming back, something is wrong. Because he said, do this in remembrance of me. I don't want you to think of me as someone who has died and all I did was benefit you in my death, but I rose, and not only did I rise, I am coming back again to receive you unto myself. Listen, when I look forward to him coming back again, I recognize, one, he's already saved me from the penalty of sin. Two, he's already saved me from the power of sin. But when he comes back, thirdly, he'll save me from the presence of sin. And that's what I look forward to, his coming back. He's coming back again, church. See, a whole lot of you ain't ready. That's why you ain't shouting that he's coming back. You thinking about, Lord, if he come back, my house ain't clean, my life ain't right, this ain't. You ain't like, you ain't saying, come, Lord Jesus. You're saying, wait, Lord Jesus, let me get it together. But when you really realize what it's all about, it is to remind you that he's coming back again. He's not forgotten about you, nor has he forgotten about the promises he's made you. And the joy of this communion is celebrating all, not part, but all that he's done in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's all represented in this communion, the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. As a story I've shared with you some time ago, and I'll share it again. I was a very wealthy old man who shared a wonderful love for fine paintings. He collected Picassos and Monets. And he and his son went all around the world
purchasing.